We're talking about mask-wearing habits and the growing political divide within levels of government. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. There were mixed messages about mask-wearing in the early stages of the pandemic, and that accounts for some of the blame for the partisan division around how to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. Is mask wearing a public health statement? Is it a political statement? Is it both? Are face masks another front in the culture war? We're at 800-642-1234 to weigh in. Will Cushman is an associate editor of WisconText. His new piece is called Face Masks, Wisconsin's Pandemic Politics and the Limits of Persuasion. Will, welcome back.
Good morning, Kate.
And we also have Katie Guzman-Ray, who lives in Burnett County in the northwest part of the state, where she's been sewing face masks and donating them for the past 6 months, give or take. Katie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you, Katie. Let's start with what prompted you to start making masks to donate back in February?
Well, I have a very, I guess, forward attitude on protecting people, helping people. I volunteer a lot at different places. And really, I just wanted to do what I could to help my community.
And so when you started making masks, where did you go to for patterns, for insights, for how to put the best mask together?
Well, originally I looked at the surgical masks that they have, you know, in most doctor's offices, and tried to adapt a pattern from that. And then Pinterest actually has a lot of patterns for different variations and things like that. So we built off of those.
And who did your first masks go to? Where did you donate them?
The very first ones I made went to my family.
Yeah.
After that, they went to the sheriff's departments around my area. They went to police departments, EMTs, first responders. And then from there, we realized, you know, the need was much bigger. So we expanded to the community, started giving them at pharmacies, the Ace hardware store that's in the town over from me, you know, gas stations, the post office, things like that.
Have you kept track of how many you've made?
Personally, I've made over 3,000 masks.
Wow, that's a lot. How many hours have you donated to this cause?
Honestly, I don't even know anymore.
Yeah. I understand that some people were offended or threatened by your efforts to make masks. Can you tell us what happened?
There was some definite animosity, and people were starting to threaten me when I expanded to a bigger area. I started working in the Meenan Town Hall, which is about 15-20 minutes away from me, south. And they came in saying I was fear-mongering, threatening people, and so on, by making masks and donating them, because I'm not really sure why they felt that way, but...
What was your response?
At the beginning, it was kind of fear. I wasn't really sure what to say. When they came in, I mostly just listened to what they had to say and told them I was sorry they felt that way. And another volunteer started coming in, so they left.
We're talking with Katie Guzman-Ray, who has been donating, making masks, donating them in her community for months now, and she's been harassed in these efforts. Also joining us is Will Cushman. He's associate editor of WisconText, and he's been reporting on this. You can join in with your insights on mask wearing and a political division, 800-642-1234. Will, people on both sides have really strong feelings about masks, and we hear it on our shows here on the Ideas Network. Why has wearing a mask become so politicized?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I spoke with a few different, media watchers and experts about this phenomenon. And one of the things I heard over and over again was that the pandemic, so the novel coronavirus, COVID-19, and then anything related to it, including face masks, was pretty much politicized right off the bat. And it kind of differed from other topics of science that have become controversial over the years, things like climate change or vaccines, in that really the right off the bat, a lot of people were getting their information about the novel coronavirus and about COVID-19 from politicians rather from scientists. So getting that information from politicians kind of immediately led to the politicization of the topic.
What impact did it have that in the early stages, in the early months, January, February, health officials told people not to wear masks? And then there was a radical change to do to wear masks. Did that have an effect?
Right. Yeah. The same people I talked to said that, yeah, they do think that this kind of what you and I or those of us who are not experts or public health officials might consider flip-flopping. And really it was American health officials who were trying to dissuade regular folks, people who were seemingly healthy to not wear masks in the beginning stages of the pandemic. And that was more, that wasn't so much based on active evidence itself, but really a lack of evidence, that masks were helpful in preventing the spread of the coronavirus and COVID-19.
Katie, were you, I want to just jump in here with Katie. Were
sure.
you surprised, Katie, how upset people were by your efforts to make masks?
I was. It was very surprising for me to see how upset that they were about it. I definitely did not think I was causing fear mongering by making masks. I thought I was, you know, helping the community.
Have you found volunteers to help in your effort? How has that been?
Absolutely. The Wisconsin Face Mask Warriors has over 6,000 volunteers now across Wisconsin. We've made over 500,000 masks.
Oh, so you're part of a
just
network.
Just for Wisconsin.
You're
oh,
part
yeah.
of a network now. Yeah. Have other people in this network experienced similar opposition, similar pushback that you've received?
Not that I've been told about.
Yeah.
They have had, you know, very minimal abrasions or people, you know, walking up to them personally in the grocery store saying, "Why are you wearing that?" But that's about as highly, you know, confrontational that they've gotten.
Will, have you seen an evolution at all in your reporting and how people perceive face masks?
Yeah, I think so. At least in terms of the health officials I've talked to, back in February and March, they were kind of hedging a little bit on the use of masks, and back then that was that definitely had to do, at least in part, with the fact that healthcare systems and healthcare workers were dealing with really extreme shortages of masks, shortages that people like Katie were trying to help alleviate with their efforts. But then, kind of about the time that there was really solid evidence that the coronavirus could spread even from asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic people, the thoughts on face masks really started to change, and that was in April.
Will Cushman is an associate editor at WisconTex. Katie Guzman-Ray has been making and donating face masks to people at her base in Burnett County. You can join in. If you don't wear a mask, why not? What would convince you to start wearing one? And are you confused about shifting advice around face masks? What questions do you have about them? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the politics around mask wearing. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As the pandemic continues, a growing number of Americans say they are regularly putting on a mask when they go to stores, other businesses. According to a Pew Research Center survey conducted last month, more than 8 in 10 U.S. adults say they have worn a mask all or most of the time over the past month. Are you in this camp, or do you not wear a mask? What has led you to the choices you make? Join in 800-642-1234. Will Cushman is associate editor of WisconText. He's been reporting on the growing political divide over mask wearing. Katie Guzman-Ray has been making and donating face masks in her base in Burnett County, where she lives, going on 6 months. Let's take a call now. Saul is joining us from Stevens Point. Hi, Saul.
Hi. Couple of things. First of all, I'm a mask wearer, and it's obvious that it decreases transmission of the disease. The CDC and Dr. Fauci, who I in many ways respect the daylights out of, made a big mistake. They panicked. They were afraid that people were going to hoard masks, so they said they don't make a difference unless you're infected. And they also knew at that time that people that showed no signs were infective. And I knew way back when that was phony. And, of course, all the people in Asia wearing masks were not totally misled. And so I thought they made a big mistake in the beginning. And then number two is our fearless leader, for vanity, refuses to wear a mask. So,
Saul, I want Will to be able to jump in here. Were there concerns early on about the hoarding of masks?
Yeah, I think Saul really hits on a couple key points there. And there really were real fears in the beginning of the pandemic about shortages of face masks and the possibility of people hoarding masks. But at the same time, I talked to a professor at UW-Madison who's an expert in kind of communicating about complex scientific topics and risk. And she's from France. And she noted that American officials' guidance on face masks was different than European officials' guidance on face masks from the beginning. In Europe, there was the idea at the time, they didn't, at the beginning of the pandemic, they didn't know for sure whether or not face masks could be helpful in cutting transmission. But they said, well, it wouldn't hurt to recommend their use, so we're going to recommend them. Whereas in the U.S., I think fears over hoarding, but then also the fact that, as Saul mentioned, mask wearing isn't really a part, it isn't really culturally ingrained in the U.S., so there are fears about that.
And Saul mentioned that President Trump doesn't wear a mask. What effect does that have on the American people?
The folks I talked to said that probably also has a really big effect. One of the ways to kind of change or shift cultural norms around something is through modeling behavior. Via leaders, in this case, elected officials, political leaders such as President Trump, actually modeling the behavior that they're trying to get other people to take part in, so that would be mask wearing. And as Saul said, President Trump has been.
I think we just lost Will there. Will, can you still hear us? Nope, we lost Will. Katie, can you hear us?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay, good. Katie, can you keep up with demand for masks? Is your network able to make enough?
We can for now. There was a time where it's definitely had a rush where you have to try, and we've collected masks from all over Wisconsin. We have 10 different zones, and we've had to ask other zones for assistance because this area that I live in is very small, and there's not a lot of people up here.
So you got to be able to make the masks and then get them out to more populated areas where they can get picked up and used.
Absolutely. And they also need to get, up here where there isn't a lot of people, but they also need to be in those largely populated areas. My town only has, 200-ish people, but Superior has a lot more. And Spooner and all of those bigger towns around us needed masks too.
We're talking with Katie Guzman-Ray, who is making masks in her area in Burnett County and getting them distributed through a network. Also, we have Will Cushman, associate editor of WisconText, who has been reporting on the political divisions around mask wearing. Will, what do we know about how many people in Wisconsin are regularly wearing face masks?
Right. The data that I looked at in my reporting is from July, so it's now going on about 2 months old. But at the time in July, the New York Times paid for a national survey of 250,000 people on their mask-wearing habits. And that survey drills down to pretty local level and found that the number of people who say that they always wear masks when they go out in public and expect to be in close quarters with other people, so at the grocery store or pharmacy or other places where they can't physically distance, that proportion is really variable around the state, or at least it was in July. So ranging anywhere from about 1 in 5 people in rural parts of central Wisconsin, so around like Adams and Juneau County, up to about a third of people in the Milwaukee suburbs, kind of Waukesha up north to the West Bend area in Ozaukee County. And then the highest rates of people who said that they always wear masks when they go out in public and can't physically distance were found in the Madison area, so around Dane County, and then in some areas that are popular with summer tourists, so Door County and then some areas of the Northwoods.
Did you look at it all? Do those areas where you see higher or lower tendencies, do they match up at all with what public officials have said about masks and about enforcement?
That's a really, really good question. And they, you know, they, I'm not familiar, like super familiar with all of the, I know a number of sheriffs around the state, yeah, have said that they wouldn't enforce the mask mandate, I believe, including in Burnett County. But and sheriffs have said that they wouldn't enforce the mandate for various reasons, ranging from what seemed to be pretty political reasons to, in Burnett County, I believe the sheriff there said that they're just simply too busy with other calls to enforce the mask mandate. I'm not sure how much that kind of aligns with mask wearing rates around the state.
Katie, what was your interaction like with the sheriff's department when you were reporting the harassment you received?
They were actually very helpful. Conveniently, the sheriff's department was about 4 minutes down the road from where I was being threatened. So a lot of the times the sheriffs would come and they'd have lunch in the parking lot or something like that. So that was kind of nice, you know, knowing that they were close by.
And so they knew you were in the building making masks in there, and they would just kind of keep an eye on that. How did that make you feel?
Definitely a lot safer.
Yeah.
It was really nice knowing that, you know, with all the threats and everything, they were still willing to come out and, you know, support what I was doing, even if it was just having lunch in the parking lot.
Katie, how long do you expect that you'll continue to make masks and be part of this community effort?
I plan on making masks until they're no longer needed. So until this pandemic's over.
Are you still getting threats at all?
Not really anymore. Since the mask mandate went out, a lot of people are a lot calmer about it. They're, you know, still a little grumbly that it's uncomfortable or they don't have the right fit of masks. It's actually been really beneficial for me because I can say, hey, I make masks, you know, have you tried this kind? And getting them different types of masks. There is several different designs and types that you can try on and whatever fits you best. I know with glasses fogging up and things like that have been a big problem for glasses wearers like myself.
So you really try to work through the difficulties people have with their masks.
Absolutely. And we've actually made some masks that have a see-through portion for those that are hard of hearing. I got those out to the county commissioner here who sent them out to some of the schools in Burnett County, and they're trying them out with those that are hard of hearing. So we're getting some information back on that, seeing how many we can make of those and try and make it more comfortable for everyone.
Well, it sounds like there's some trial and error, but you're still really working at it.
Absolutely. We want to, you know, make this as easy as possible for everyone. We know that masks aren't super comfortable all the time, but if it's going to help as many people as we possibly can, you know, possibly save people's lives, we're all for it.
Well, Katie, thank you for joining us and sharing your story.
No problem. I'm glad to be here.
And Will, thanks so much for your reporting.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Will Cushman is associate editor at WisconText. Katie Guzman-Ray is a Danbury resident who's been sewing masks for months now. Coming up, we talk with a reporter about state officials' decision not to publicize the names of schools where coronavirus cases have been confirmed. We'll pick this up after a news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.